This is the message given by Pastor James Lim during the morning worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for December 17th, 2017. The title of the message is The Light of Men.
If you have your Bibles with you, if you would open them with me to John chapter 1, we continue through our Advent messages leading up to Christmas. These are messages from John's prologue. If you don't have a Bible and you, or you have a different translation, you can also follow along in the bulletin. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you with our Bibles wide open, signifying the opening of our hearts, that we are ready to hear your voice from Scripture, to symbolize the opening of our hearts and our minds to receive you. We thank you for your word that speaks to us knowledge. It is the light that you shine into our hearts through Jesus Christ. Father, help us to remember why you came into the world, the reason for which you came, and in the manner in which you came, so that you might come to save us from our sins. Bless the reading and especially the preaching of your word. Be with me, the preacher, so that out of my weakness, your perfect power would be manifest. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For some context, I'm going to read from verse 1, and you can follow along. But the sermon will be based on verse 4 and 5. Hear now the reading of God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You know, just after Thanksgiving, my neighbors put up all of their Christmas lights. And over the course of a week, they put them up section by section. One section on one day and another section on another day. And so there was buildup. You know, I wonder what it's all going to look like when they turn them on. There was anticipation in the neighborhood because we were all outside talking. Oh, that, you know, it's going to be awesome when you put up the lights. My neighbor loves Christmas lights. I mean, you know, every neighborhood has one house that just really does up the Christmas lights. And we live pretty much directly across in our condo complex from the lady who does the lights. And it's awesome. It's really, really cool. And so when the lights were all done, you know, she didn't turn them on, you know, piece by piece, but she wanted them all set up. And she finished them in the morning. And I walked by and said, "Are you done?" And she said, "Yes." "So are you going to turn them on?" And she looked at me. She's like, "I'm not going to turn them on now. You know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to turn them on tonight." And it didn't make sense. I mean, at first I was like, why did I ask that question? That was a dumb question. But it made sense after she mentioned it, that you turn lights on in the dark to bring light, to dispel the darkness. If she had turned them on at 10 o'clock in the morning, I mean, I probably would barely see that they were on. I mean, they're not strong enough to overcome the light of the sun and of the ambient light in the morning. So that's how light works. That's what light does. It shines brighter in the darkness, and it dispels that darkness. Last week, we looked at how the beginning of Christmas goes all the way back to the very beginning. In the beginning, that was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This week, you know, echoing Genesis 1, here in John 1, When God said, "Let there be light," the light pierced the darkness at the beginning of creation. And here God sends His Word into the darkness of this fallen world. And the light of Christ, the light of life, the light of men pierces the darkness and despair of sin and death. And that's what I want us to see this morning. That Jesus is the light of men who pierces the darkness of sin and death, and He came to overcome it at the very beginning of Christmas. So first, I want us to see that Jesus is the light who brings life to a dark and dreary world. John continues with the theme of creation from the beginning. He says, "In Him was life." And so the question is, how is Jesus life? How does life dwell in Him? It dwells in Him because He is the light that brings physical life to the world. One of the foundational truths of biology and of physics and of life on this planet is that without light, there is no life. It's interesting, 2015 was the year of the scientific year of light. And one of the most important aspects of life is that it is when through the cascade that light brings into our ecosystem comes all of life. And without life, there would be no cascade of life. There would be no life. There would be no photons emanating from the sun. There would be no energy to fuel life on this planet as we know it. There would be no atmosphere, no photosynthesis, no light, no life. Jesus, through whom light comes into the world, is the light that gives life to every living thing. He is also the light of spiritual life. Right? Life is more than just the physical. It's the spiritual. All of life is in reference to the life of God, who is Himself a spirit. In Him, Paul says, we live and move and have our being. When God made us in His image, He made us to be in living fellowship with Him, a fellowship of life, a fellowship with Him. That when God made Adam and Eve out of the dust of the earth, and he took Adam and He breathed His very own breath of life into him, Genesis says he became a living being. It is only in Him and through Him do we have life. Not just physical, not just breathing and heartbeat and blood and organs and flesh, but a spiritual life breathed into us. That's why we are made in His image. It is the image of His very own life that is more than just physicality, but spirituality. But at the fall, sin severed that fellowship of life, and as a result brought death into the world, brought darkness and despair. We were all, at the moment sin entered the world, at the moment that Adam sinned, we became like roses cut off at the stem. We look beautiful for a while, but then begins our slow progress toward death. But Jesus in the gospel redeems and reconnects us to that life by reconnecting us to Himself, who is the life. John says this, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself." And through His own life, He brings us the light of eternal life. This is why later on in John 3:16, we have those famous words that says that Jesus says that God sent Him into the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting eternal life. And we'll see what that means in a little bit. But eternal life is not merely the quantity of unending life that goes on and on. It's more than that. It is the quality and the character of life. It is abundant life forever because it is life forever with God. That is what makes life eternal. That is what makes life everlasting. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly," John 10:10. When Adam and Eve fell in sin, it plunged the whole world into the darkness and despair of sin and death. But Jesus is the light of life who comes, and he dispels that darkness. And he overcomes the death that cloaks over the world. Because, John says here, in him was life. This reminds us how the very nature of life itself is a clue to the very existence of God in Jesus, through whom everything was made. Francis Collins, who is a very strong Christian, a believer, he is also the former head of the Human Genome Project, where they sequenced all of the human sequence of DNA. And he's also the current director of the National Institutes of Health. And he argues that the fundamental laws and constants of physics and of the universe, including the nature of light, points to a creator God, a God who made everything exactly so that they would contribute to the formation of everything as we know it, and to give life, to bring life into this universe, and particularly on this planet. And he calls it the fine-tuning of the universe. And he says this, Francis Collins, "When you look from the perspective of a scientist at the universe, it looks as if it knew we were coming. There are 15 constants: the gravitational constant, the speed of light, the strong and weak natures of nuclear forces. These all have precise values. If any of those constants was off by even one part in a million, or in some cases, one part in a million million, the universe could not have actually come to the point where we see it. Matter would not have been able to coalesce. There would have been no galaxy, stars, planets, or people." Jesus is the light that gives life to all, including you and I. Jesus is not only the light that brings life to the world, but he also gives light to men and women, to you and I in particular. "In him was life, John says, and the life was the light of men." He echoes Genesis 1. When God created the universe, he shined light into the darkness. And in John 1, God brings life to a dark world, and he shines the very light of Jesus when he came into the world. And light has four very important functions. Light reveals and illuminates. When you go to drive your car at night, you turn on your headlights so you can see what's right in front of you. Otherwise, everything just seems too dark to see. And this is what John is saying about the coming of Jesus. Isaiah said it this way: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." Isaiah 9:2. And after the fall, we all fell into the darkness of spiritual blindness and ignorance. We were cut off and alienated from the God who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But now Jesus has come to shine the light of the knowledge of God into our hearts and our minds through himself and in the gospel. James Montgomery Boyce, the late pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, says this: "Jesus is revealed as the one who knows God the Father and who makes him known. Before Christ came into the world was in darkness. The world did not know God. Christ came. His light shone before men. Then men had light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Friends, this morning, can I ask you, do you know God? Do you know him intimately and personally? Do you have a living relationship of life in which his light shines upon you and illuminates every part of who you are, driving out the darkness, driving out the despair, giving you hope in a dying world? Or do you simply know of him? You simply know about him. You have a secondhand knowledge of who he is. He's someone who's far off, someone who you don't want to be at close to. Do you know him, or do you know of him? Can I invite you this morning to know him, that he is the light that shines the knowledge of God into our hearts? That he invites you to step into the darkness, step out of the darkness of life, of death, and step into the light of life with him, which is infinitely better and filled with hope. Light not only reveals, but it also warms. Light not only illuminates, but it also energizes. It's the only visible form of electromagnetic radiation. Plants and solar panels take this energy and harnesses the power of photons. Plants use it for photosynthesis. Solar panels use it to generate electricity. But when we walk after the fall, when we walk in the cold darkness of sin and despair, Jesus is the light that gives us warmth. He gives us the light of hope. And he changes us. He transforms us. He warms us. He enlivens us with the power of his life that gives us eternal life. John says this in chapter 12, 46. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Light not only reveals and warms, but it also guides us. It reminds us of how God leads the Israelites in the wilderness through the glory cloud of light, a pillar of fire and smoke. Jesus is the fulfillment of that great type, that great theophany, that he is the light that leads sinners out of darkness, out of death. It is his word, the psalmist says, that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And those who walk apart from his word walk in darkness and stumble and inevitably fall. Jesus, who is the word and the light, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, John 8:12. Friends, brothers and sisters, faith is opening the eyes of your hearts, trusting in Jesus as the light that not only gives you life, but also leads you in your life. Faith is walking by the light of Jesus revealed in his word and not walking by sight. And this has several implications for you and I. First, this means using the light of Christ revealed in his word ought to lead us and light our way in the darkness of this world. It means using the Bible, using the gospel in fellowship with Christ as a torch in the darkness of this world to see what's in front of you. To get out of the way of obstacles, to turn when there is a dead end or where there's danger in front of you. He is the sun that lights everything in the world of the Christian. And what does this mean? It means that we have to use God's word. We have to study God's word. We have to hide it in our hearts. We have to let it teach us, let it inform who we are and how to live. We must be people of the light because we are people of the Word, people of Jesus. And not to live by the light of God's Word, not to live by the light of Christ is like going into a dark tunnel and having a million power candle light, like a million candle-powered flashlight and never using it, trying to stumble through whatever might be in front of us, whatever dangers might come, and yet at the same time having the light that would illuminate everything. That's what it means to like have the light of the gospel and never using it, never living by it. That's why we have community groups and Bible studies. That's why we have the preaching of God's word. We do all of these things so that you might be illuminated. So that you might see in the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ and of the gospel. And at the same time, think of yourself also having the seed of God's grace and life in you, and that the light of the gospel, the light of God, is the sun that shines into your heart, and it helps the seed of faith grow so that you might flourish and grow and bear fruit. Maybe if you're not growing in your life, maybe you're not bearing fruit in your Christian life, maybe it's because you've closed off the light of Christ, the light of God's word, by not studying it, not opening it, not communing with God, not living by it, when it's not a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Secondly, if you're not a Christian, you can take for granted how the light of Christ makes sense of all of reality. That all of reality really only makes sense in light of the existence of God and the light of Christ. It's like how C.S. Lewis puts it when he describes when atheists deny that there is meaning in the universe because there is no God. This is what C.S. Lewis says: if the whole universe has no meaning, we should never have found out that it has no meaning. Just as if there's no light in the universe, therefore no creatures with eyes, we should never know it was dark. Dark would be without meaning. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. You have to presuppose the existence of God in order then to deny it. And therein lies the paradox, the irony of atheism and agnosticism. And this brings us to my final point. Jesus is the light that is life, and he gives light to men because he came not only to pierce the darkness, but to overcome it in the gospel. That Jesus is the light of life that brings light to men, because he came to overcome the darkness. If light brings life, then darkness is the shadow of death. And if light is good, then darkness symbolizes sin and evil. This is why Jesus came into the world, to shine into the darkness goodness and life in order to overcome darkness and sin. The light shines in the darkness, John says, and the darkness has not overcome it. When the world was covered in the darkness of sin, cloaked in despair of death, Jesus comes to bring light and life to men. He came to dispel it, to drive it away, to overcome it. And here is the gospel of light. This is what Christmas is all about. This is why Christmas Eve, December 24th, we are going to gather here at 6 o'clock, turn off all the lights, and light candles in the darkness. Because that's what Jesus did in the darkness of this world when he came 2,000 years ago, incarnate, God incarnate, through a weak and lowly, frail human baby. He came to dispel the darkness of sin and death by coming as the light. He is the light that shines in the darkness. He came to free us from the realm and the power and the kingdom of sin and the shadow of death. He came to shine the light of righteousness and life to sinners lost in darkness, sin, and death. He shined the light of God's grace and truth to sinners. He called the dead out of the darkness of the grave, and he brings them into his marvelous light of life. He calls sinners to repentance, and he gives them eternal life. Like a beacon in the darkness, Jesus calls out of the darkness of our sins and the despair of sin and death, and he calls us, he bids us to come to him. You know, not too long ago, we went on the Faith family camping trip, and there were parts of the campground where if you don't have a light, you're going to stumble over every little thing. You're going to not be oriented to where you need to go. And I remember, my daughter calling out, "Daddy, where are you?" And I would shine my light, and I'd say, "I'm over here," and she would follow the light on the way back to the tent. And that's what Jesus is. That's what God does for us in the gospel. He shines the light, and he calls us to come to him for life, for forgiveness, for safety, for hope, for resurrection, for eternal life. He is the light that overcomes the darkness. And the paradox of the gospel is that the way that he overcame the darkness was that he was overcome by darkness. This is what we see at the cross, is it not? At the cross, the light of the world, the light of life, the light of men took our sins, took our punishment. He took our death. And how did he do it? When he was covered in the darkness of night, in the midday. For 3 hours in the middle of the day, when the sun should have been shining brightest, it shined the darkest. The gospel writers describe it. They say the sun, the light of the sun failed. Cloaked in darkness, the light of the world took our sin and was snuffed out. Bearing the wrath that you and I deserved. And how do we know that? When God, who is light, turned away his love and poured out his wrath, in the darkness, Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" My God, why have you forsaken me?" That the darkness was God withholding and retreating and pulling away the countenance of his own love towards his one and only Son. Why? So that he might accept and shine forth the light of his love onto you and me. In order for you and I, think of each and every one of ourselves, think of us as like candles, that we are snuffed out because of sin and death. But Jesus is the torch that comes to light us, to give us life, to give us righteousness, to give us forgiveness of sins. And so he comes and he gives us his very own light, his very own life. But in order to do that, when he gives it to us, he has to be snuffed out. And that's what the cross is. It is the extinguishing of the light of life, the light of the world, the light of men, so that you and I might be lit with eternal life. But death could not hold him. Darkness could not overcome him. In being overcome, he finally overcame. And after 3 days, he rose from the grave in the resurrection. He overcame darkness. He overcame death. And he did it all for you and for me to redeem us and restore us from darkness into the light of eternal life with him. With him who is the light of life and the light of men. Friends, this is the gospel that you and I, this is the gospel that we celebrate every year. He is the light that has already shined and pierced the darkness and shines all around you and I. And faith is simply opening the doors and the curtains of our lives and of our hearts, and letting his light shine into the darkness of our hearts. Letting him come and dispel the darkness of sin, the despair of death, to give you his own abundant and eternal life through the light of the gospel. My question to you this morning is, will you open the door and let the light of Christ shine in? Will you open the curtains and open the windows so that the light might come in and illuminate everything and dispel all the darkness that is within? Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is the light that shines into our lives, that in order to overcome the darkness, he was overcome by the darkness so that we might have light and life. Lord, help this truth change us. Help it warm us and energize us. Help us to live by it. Help us to be guided by it. Father, in this Christmas season, remind us that in Jesus, we have light. In his name we pray. Amen.